are now watching the College Baseball Insider Show.
It's behind him. This is hammered. Left field, and we are tied. Wow.
Now, here are your hosts, giving you an inside look into the top matchups.
Well, it always cracks me up because you never know what host you're going to get. But I'm joined once again by Kevin Bohannon of hogbeat.com. That's HAWGBEAT.com. He works for Arkansas Rivals Network. Kbo, coming off a 2-series win over Texas Tech, feeling good, kind of got right after Bama. But let's backtrack to last weekend. What happened? We dropped all the way down to number 2 in the polls after losing our first SEC series against Bama.
Yeah, and number dropped down to number 3 in the National Collegiate Baseball Writers Association. So, man, and I think that was more of Tennessee sweeping and Texas A&M sweeping than what Arkansas did. Because, hey, before the season started, I projected them to lose at Alabama. Why? Alabama had some good transfers. Brad Bohannon, for everything he did off the field, he could recruit, and he got some good kids to campus. T.J. McCants, of course, come over from Ole Miss, had a big weekend for the Tide. So, Friday, first 2 innings, you're thinking, man, this is going to be good. This is going to start off to be a good weekend. But I think you saw, and I've said all year long, this team is deep, and not everybody has to be hot at the same time. If you have 5 or 6 of the 12 that are hitting on a given weekend, you're going to win 2 out of 3. If you got everybody, you sweep. If you go below that, you have a chance to lose. So what Arkansas has been getting by on is what? Pitching and defense. They've been able to hold teams down and do just enough to win. So it didn't happen last weekend. They got shut out for the first time. Yeah, that just wasn't there. You know, it was – bad matchup for them. It was one of those things. It's baseball. It happens. So now that they've lost their first series, I was proud of the way they bounced back. They had a little hangover going into Tuesday night, getting down 7-0. And for the listeners and the viewers out there, just know that coming back from a 7-0 deficit is like coming back from a 28-0 deficit in football. That's how I kind of liken it to, or a 20-point deficit in basketball. So it's a big deal. Now, it is midweek. You did it with arms that, A, do pitch on the weekend because Coach Van Horn wanted to get a lot of people in. And those guys came out and performed well. You got to see guys like Peyton Holt, who started in center field. That would tell you the story on that. I'm at the Houston Intercontinental Airport, International Airport, whatever it is, IAH, George W. Bush, and I get a text, hey, you'll be surprised at the lineup tonight. Holt's center field leadoff. All right, that's cool. I like it. So there, and then Jason Jones, who has been a forgotten man in the outfield rotation, has a good series against Texas Tech. So I think they had a good reset, Matt. And that's what you alluded to, is they had a good reset. Getting the wins against Texas Tech were big because look, that's going to be a field of 64 team. And there was a little bit of emotion last night. You could tell.
Yeah, that first game you talked about, we at one point, 6-4-3 charts had us, I think, a 9% win probability to come back and win that game down 7-0 or 6-0, whatever it was. And then hats off to Zane Adams. He just pitched his butt off. And 8 scoreless innings for him. 5 strikeouts, 4 hits. But just that freshman lefty thing, just it ails Arkansas for whatever reason. But yeah, all right, moving on to the series upcoming, we've got another road SEC series. This is one that I feel like we should get, especially just getting right. South Carolina's kind of been a team that's up and down. I feel like they play really good and then they'll turn around and play really bad. What are your initial thoughts on South Carolina in general? They don't have Conway Boy anymore pitching for them, but I feel like this is going to be a fun series, and a lot like Texas Tech, I feel like we're going to have to get the bats going too, because with Ethan Petrie, Cole Messina, those guys can rake at any given point. So What are your overall thoughts against South Carolina?
Yeah, Petrie and Messina, you know, coming into the season were up there with Charlie Condon in terms of All-American status, player of the year, being in the player of the year running for the SEC. So Petrie's done his part, hitting 323, 15 bombs, 38 RBIs. Messina, 291, nothing to take a stick at, you know, not too bad, not too shabby. 10 bombs, 33 RBIs. Petrie's slugging 708. They both struck out over 40 times, but they both draw their walks. You know, Petrie is about 1-1. He's got 35 walks on the year. Messina, 27. So it's going to be a tough lineup. They're only hitting 270 as a team. They drop off quite a bit after those guys in terms of home run production. Those two account for 25 of the 58. So they're almost 50%. They're about 43, 44% of their home run production. Now, let's go back 2 years, 3 years, 3 years. 2021, Robert Moore, everybody remembers the series when they started doing the Oompa Loompa champ and Bob goes bomb, big bomb, big bomb Bob. That was so much fun. I was there. It was such an electric atmosphere. So this is when Arkansas leads the overall series, no matter where it's at. They've won 9 of the last 12. Games. They won 2-3 in Fayetteville last year. They won games 1-3, got beat in the middle. So you're going to start seeing, I think, more and more low-scoring games, kind of like last weekend. But Arkansas has the propensity to blow a game open. They were able to outscore somebody. That's what we've all been waiting to see. Can they get in a shootout with somebody and blow the top off of it? So they did. South Carolina sweep incoming. I love that.
Ron Burgundy with that Will Ferrell South Carolina hat. Wrong SC, but So our projections actually no surprise here. I feel like Hagan Smith is projected to win his game. They've got a 59.9% win probability that translates to about a 150 money line. South Carolina on the Saturday game, Ty Good versus Mason Molina, it's 50-50 right now. I think it's 50.7 in favor of South Carolina. And then on Sunday is the one with Tiger versus Becker. That one's the highest for South Carolina at 56.9. So I feel like the numbers say that it's going to be a pretty tightly contested series. We saw kind of with Texas Tech and even Alabama last weekend, you have to lay a lot of juice. Like, odds makers really like this Arkansas team. And right. I assume a lot of it is just based on, like, how I anchor every handicap around the starting pitcher. We've got them. And South Carolina does, too. Their numbers aren't as good. But with the rotation of Eli Jones, Ty Good, and Matthew Becker, I mean, these are all guys that are – 3.59 ERA, 2.53, 4.97 for Becker, but his Sierra is low. It's 2.27. So I feel like we have the opportunity to have a low scoring series, which I would say Alabama was a pretty low scoring series too, despite our shutout that we had handed to us on Sunday. But I mean, series prediction. What are you leaning towards here?
You know, I think they take care of it. Arkansas takes care of business on Friday night. And I believe Mason Molina has something that he wants to go out there and prove. I think he does a little bit better. Will McIntyre had his bad week for the year, so I think he gets dialed back in. They have to have some of the sophomores really step up. So now Ben Bibee's been throwing – you know, the starter in non-conference midweek game. Now, he only went an inning and a third. So, you have to think about, you know, Saturday, Sunday, he's going to be available. So, the order has been Hagan, Will, Gabe, Gackle. So, if Gackle doesn't throw on Friday, he's going to come in on Saturday. They're going to have to utilize everybody. And that's the thing. So, will we see Peyton Holt start in left field, start center field? Coach Van Horn's going to want to get the offense going. So I think he's going to be that spark plug since he's sitting up there. Sousa's going to be the DH when there's a righty on the mound. Know that. So Jack Wagner's got going lately. So I think they're a little bit more offensive minded. They're willing to sacrifice a little bit of defense because they're still feeling at a 980, 981 clip. Yeah, Arkansas is going to take care of business on Friday night. Saturday, I think Molina gets it going, and then they'll lose on Sunday. That's the way I just see it breaking out right now. And Arkansas wins 2 out of 3.
So of hopefully no minus 210 sweats. Yeah, I gave out the projections really liked Arkansas to run away with the games against Texas Tech. Granted, if you bet them, I hope you bet the money line and not the run line because we failed to cover both of them. But
yeah, midweek games are tough, man. And
they are.
That was like the other night, and you know, Bet Saracen, I have a relationship with those guys, and the over under was 13.5, and I was like, give me that. Texas Tech comes in hitting 324 on the year. Can light up just about anybody. Now, obviously, their pitching staff is not there, which we saw, and they throw a lot of meatballs over the middle of the plate. Boys can hit 17 runs game one. You're liable to see it. The two games back to back, you don't see like that very much. So, if you do want to get in on some over under totals, go bet the New Jersey Institute of Technology midweek games. They beat St. Peter's last night 27-14. That'll be the easiest money you ever make.
I love it. So, we around the league talking about Bet Saracen. We've got four series beginning tomorrow. It looks like they've got odds up. No odds out for Arkansas yet. I'm going to assume that Hagan Smith is probably going to be in that minus 175, 185 range. If you get him cheaper than that, I'd probably back him. But again, I think odds makers are pretty sharp on his talent level alone. But you've got a good one. Alabama takes on Texas A&M. A&M right now is out to a minus 210 favorite. I'm assuming you're going to get Ben Hess versus Ryan Prager, who's been really good. Yep. This A&M team is very, very good. And I feel like them stepping into the role that we just had last weekend, this is going to be a good test to kind of see where we actually stack up. Does Alabama replicate the type of games that they had against us, or do they fall flat on their face, or do they outperform what they did against us? Which taking a series 2-1 at home is, you know, nothing to shake a fist at. But I feel like if you do it against number one Texas A&M now, after doing it to number one Arkansas last weekend, that's Alabama's legit, and their pitching staff showed that. But this is going to be a fun series. Do you have a lean in this one? Either way,
Texas A&M. I was asked the other day, and I was talking in a chat with the D1 guys, Kendall Rogers, Aaron Fitt, and they posed the question: Is there an elite team in the nation this year? And I put it out there: Look, Texas A&M right now is that elite team with what they have with Braden Montgomery and Jace LaViolette. I think that's how you say it. Ron Prager, LaViolette, LaViolette. Yeah, I'm not sure. Don't want to butcher it. But yeah, Ryan Prager, seven wins on the year, nothing to shake a stick at. So they are that elite team right now. Now, Oregon State has an elite lineup. Their pitching is not what, you know, if they had Arkansas's pitching staff, that would be hands down the best team in the nation, but they don't. If Arkansas had more of OSU's lineup, you know, that would be one of those teams. But they're off to a 33-4 start. Arkansas is, what, 32-5 now? I mean, it's ridiculous. Kentucky, I think, you're going to see some smoke screens. They're going to get exposed this weekend with Tennessee.
You brought that up, because that was another team that I really wanted to talk about. Kentucky shooting up the ranks to number 3. They're 31-5, 14-1 in SEC play. They take on Tennessee this weekend. Granted, it is in Lexington, so a slight edge for a little home field advantage for Kentucky, but this is going to be a test. You think they'll be exposed?
I do. I think the one thing that Kentucky has going for them right now is it is a veteran ball club. They got some 23, 24-year-old dudes on that team. So I think Tennessee, you know, Tony V, they're going to go in there. Tennessee's been that team that, okay, they've been kind of in that second tier right below Florida, LSU, Arkansas, and now – Texas A&M, Arkansas, and Kentucky all right, we're knocking on the door out there. And I say that even though they're the fourth-ranked team in the nation, they haven't been talked about in that elite group or that team that could be, you know, a one or two national seed coming in. So, Tony V, they got the healthy, the Amrick's back. That's huge for them. I think they go to Kentucky and take two out of three this weekend, and that's something that nobody's done. You know, Kentucky's 14-1 in conference play. Ridiculous start to the year. Kentucky's done this before to where they'll get out and it finished 20-10, 22-8, something like that, and then fall 500 facing the regionals. While I do think it is a more stable team, more consistent, I just think there's a little bit of fluff there right now. I think Tennessee exposes it.
Yeah, I agree with you. I do have to give them credit, though. I actually wore a Kentucky hat on Monday on the recap show because apparently all we did was trash Kentucky and say that they're not very good. But the rotation with Poozer and Moore, can't think of the other guy's name, but they don't. They have stats kind of like Arkansas.
Yeah, Dominic Beeman, he's got 7 wins on the year.
Yeah, their hitting stats don't jump off the page, which neither does Arkansas's, but they also don't have the rotation quite like Arkansas has and the pitching depth. But again, hats off to you, Kentucky Wildcats. You guys are looking good, but I do think Tennessee, I actually think Tennessee has the potential to sweep. I kind of want to see what A.J. Russell's status is, if he's going to be back. But A.J. Causey's, Andrew Zekris, and Drew Beam, they're pretty salty. I feel like they can hit a lot better than
Beam's been around for like 5 years now. I feel like he's been around forever.
Who?
Drew Beam.
Oh, yeah, he has, I feel like. and then you've got NC State hosting North Carolina, Florida hosting – or Vanderbilt hosting Florida. Florida, man, what happened? This is the most Jekyll and Hyde team I think I've seen.
You know, sometimes you – so I go back and think of this, and you're a little too young for this, Matt, but around 1999, 2000, the Arizona Wildcats football team was like a preseason top five team. And they won like 4 games. I mean, it was like the biggest disaster to that point in college football. You know, as far as preseason rankings and where you expect somebody to be versus how they actually finished. That happens kind of every year now. But Florida, they've won, what, 1 midweek game? They lost all 3 games of Florida State. And I'm not talking close. Florida State put up like 11 billion runs on them. I mean, it's bad. Yeah, you got Jacques. You got Jack, whatever. But they just don't have much after that. Yeah, they got some dudes, but they're just not that deep. And Kevin O'Sullivan's one of the best guys in the nation. He's one of the top head coaches in college baseball. They just don't have it. And I saw it last year. I got into an argument with somebody. They were like, who's going to be the Golden Spikes? I said, Dylan Cruz, hands down. Dylan Cruz or Paul Skeens. Florida fan pops up. What about, like, yeah, he's hit 33 home runs. Well, he does it on the mound, too. I'm like, his ERA is like 4-something. He's an average Sunday starter in the SEC. Well, now, you know, he's moved up, but I just, it's all flash and all flare, but flash and flare don't win games.
Yeah, their biggest problem right now, I feel like, is pitching. They just don't have the consistency.
They can't hold anybody down.
And you went into the season not having – or you thought Cade Fisher was going to be your Friday night guy. He proved to not be able to do that. Now you've got the Brandon Neely experiment going. Jack Caglione obviously pitching Sunday so he can DH the other days, but or play first base the other days. DH on Sunday. I don't know. That was a team that I was high on, which part of that was my show. Everybody else is tuned in. You know that Quentin is a big Florida Gators fan, but that hype kind of, I think, over exaggerated the talent level of this team. Jack is good. Shelnut's good. Colby Shelton came over from Bama. He's good. They can hit with the best of them, which is why I feel like you could lose a midweek to McNeese State and you could go beat the Yankees in the same week. Like, I don't know what to make of this team. It's so Jekyll and Hyde, but I feel like Vanderbilt is slightly in that boat with Kentucky where they're kind of overrated and they got exposed last weekend. I do think with them being back at home, they get this series win, but I wouldn't be surprised if Florida, you know, puts up a 15 spot on them, just kind of out of rage. Of not being able to click offensively or on the pitching staff.
If you remember back, I think it was the first show we did together, me talking about Vanderbilt, how this is not a typical Vanderbilt team. If you go back, they were used to pitching and defense, but now they're trying to outscore you. You know, they'll win an 11-10 game. I think they did that against Missouri. But just think about that for a minute. They did that against Missouri, 11-10, if that's the game I'm thinking about. So you don't have a Walker Buehler, a Jack Leiter, Kumar Rocker, David Price. You don't have those frontline guys that you can trot out there and say, okay, here's a first-round pick, a second-round pick, and a third-round pick. Good luck. Let it eat. They're trying to outscore you. They're doing, you know, kind of the gorilla ball thing. So that is not a sustainable model in college baseball anymore. You got to be able to pitch play defense. At the end of the day, yeah, it's not the BB Corps era. So, you know, pitching and defense matters. And Arkansas,
you may be thinking about Florida. That Florida lost 11-10 against Missouri, but there, I feel like their whole theory is just try to outscore you. I mean, that's really all they can do. Vanderbilt,
hold them to 6 or 7 runs, and we'll be okay.
Yeah. Vandy, I don't know when the last time, I guess Auburn, no, at LSU, they put up 13 runs. But they lost 15-0 to A&M, 9-0, 12-6. I mean, they're just struggling on the mound. And Tim Corbin's teams are typically, like you said,
that's
Jack Leiter and Kumar Rocker and those guys. Like, pitching was an anchor for them, and they don't have it. But if you don't have anything else, I guess that wraps it up. We're going to be back for our show tonight with Quentin and Smitty. For Kevin Bohannon with hogbeat.com, we had to bring this back. We don't
do a show
last week. We dropped a series. So,
yeah, got to keep consistent. Anybody, baseball fans out there, know I'm superstitious. It's not superstitious. It's a way of life at the end of the day. So Matt called me the other day and said, hey, we got to do this again. So we'll get the series dub and continue on as is.
Yes, sir. All right, y'all. Have a good weekend. Go cash some tickets.